Hello everyone and welcome to Spotlight. We're delighted you could join us today, a wonderful Saturday afternoon, which means time for Spotlight. Before we get started, I'd like to thank Dennis for recording our Spotlight programs for us for the purpose of archiving. We'll remind everyone that Spotlight programs are available for your listening convenience in our archive files. You can get to those by going to the front page, clicking on Galaxy of Stars, and in there you'll find another link for Spotlight. It's a great way to listen to Spotlight programs that you may have missed. We'll ask that you hold your questions and comments for our guests today until the end of the interview. And as usual, remind everyone that text messaging isn't permitted in this room. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Steve Pallett to introduce his very special guest today. Steve?
Thank you, Becky. And today, I've got the very great pleasure of interviewing someone quite well known on the site. It's Jody Kirkland, and I'm sure that everyone knows that Jody is Jennifer's daughter. So, without further ado, Jody, welcome to Spotlight. Thanks very much indeed for agreeing to be interviewed. And can I begin by asking you where you were born?
Hello, Steve and everyone. And I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Well, that's quite away from where you are now, but we'll get on to that a little bit, when you got there, a little bit later in the interview. Can you tell me something about your early childhood? What are your early memories of when you were a little girl?
I remember being a tomboy and climbing trees and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And playing with my sister outside. I remember playing outside a whole lot. And I don't know, I probably remember a few birthday parties and stuff like that. I remember being very happy, so...
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear. Were you a tomboy? Did you play out? What sort of scrapes did you get into when you were a child? Can you remember any incident in particular that sticks out in your mind?
I remember when I was probably about the age of my oldest now, probably around 7, that I used to fall off my bike and skateboards and things like that all the time, and I got grounded for a while because my knees weren't healing very well. I'd scraped so much skin off of them, but just that sort of thing, just exploring and climbing trees and seeing how high you can go on the swings, that sort of thing.
So from your remarks there, I take it was quite a rural setting where you grew up, or am I completely wrong? Was it a rural setting, or were you in the city?
Well, I spent most of my life in North Carolina and most of it in Raleigh, but I do remember being in like the 4th and 5th grades, I think it was, and being in Wendell, North Carolina, which was very small, and having a little more freedom there, a lot of wildlife, a lot of things to do out there, but I've spent most of my time actually in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Now, I can't let an opportunity like this go by without asking you a little bit about your mum. At what age would you say you were when you were first aware of the fact that mum couldn't see? At what age do you think that occurred to you, or can't you really remember?
No, I don't remember. I don't know. My mom's always been blind, and that's normal for me. I never felt like it was, a hardship I had to bear or anything like that. I know I had a lot of, friends and things that would be stupid. How can your mom cook when she's blind? That sort of thing. And I think most of the time growing up, things like that, just the general ignorance of people, upset me more than it would upset my mom about that sort of stuff. But I don't know. I don't think there was an age I really realized that. It's probably very young. I know my oldest daughter knew very young that her grandma couldn't see. So I don't know. It's just something that just always was.
Yeah, I understand that. I think children are very adaptable, aren't they? And I know from my experience with my nieces and nephews, they do learn at a very early age that you can't see, and it just doesn't matter. But would you say living with a blind mother, she was more protective of you, or did she let you go and do your own thing? From what you've said so far, I take it that she did, but I just wondered if you ever felt that she was overprotective towards you.
Yeah, probably, but I think that's because that's just my mom, though. I think she was protective about things, as in the great world beyond, you know, crossing the street, talking to strangers, walking by yourself. But as far as, you know, doing your laundry and cleaning up after yourself, she wasn't overprotective on that issue. So I think that she was basically normal mom. I'm probably more overprotective with my kids now than she was of me.
Did you have friends over to play, and what was their initial reaction when they discovered that Jodie's mum was blind? Did you ever have any problem with your friends?
Not really. I can't remember any one of my friends coming over and, you know, doing anything stupid or acting different. My friends always loved my mom, though, that she was a great mom to play with us, find us stuff to do, and order pizza when we were older, that sort of thing. So my friends liked coming over to my house.
Yeah, I bet they did. Yeah, I can well imagine that. And so, you know, you had a pretty normal childhood, obviously by the sound of it, and a very enjoyable one too. Tell me a little bit about when you first went to school. What are your early memories of that?
I guess the first school I actually remember is in Raleigh, and I guess I would have been about first or second grade. And I remember I liked school. I usually did my homework and that sort of thing. I enjoyed being with friends in school and that kind of thing. My sister is a lot older than me, so I never had to have, you know, someone my age, my sister, in my school. So I kind of got to do my own thing, and I think I enjoyed that a lot.
Any subjects you particularly enjoyed doing? What were your favorites?
Probably English is my very favorite subject. I liked math a whole lot, too. Basically, if it wasn't history, I liked it a whole lot. Never enjoyed history, any of the classes I ever took, but I love reading and writing, so English was definitely my favorite.
So as you progressed through school, had you any plans as to what you wanted to do, or were you pretty fluid in your ideas about what you wanted to do after leaving?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to be a mom, and so luckily that came true. I think the very first thing I can remember wanting to be was a pediatrician, and that lasted for a while. But then I learned about the more gruesome side of becoming a doctor and that sort of thing, and that just wasn't in me. So I don't know. I've always wanted to work with people and kids. Those are my favorite people to work with, especially kids. So, and I'm working with people now, so that works out well too. And I got two kids, so I'm pretty happy about all that.
Yeah, it looks as if all your ambitions and dreams are coming through. That's great to hear. So, after you graduated from school, I think that's the term you use over there. I'm never too sure. You have to forgive me if I'm wrong. But you graduated from school, I take it, and what actually happened at that point after you graduated from school?
Well, I graduated, and my mom rented a limo, and my friend Lisa was there. He was my fiance then, but my husband was there too, and friends Lisa and Sasha, and my grandparents, and we rented a limo and went in style to my graduation. That was a lot of fun. And right after I graduated, I got married, and we had our first child, Chloe Lynn Kirkland, who is seven and a half now.
Wow, it's fantastic. I was going to ask you about, you know, what you did in your teenage years, but obviously you were very very tied up with your little girl at that stage, so I don't suppose you had much time for a social life as such, did you? Or maybe I'm wrong.
No, I did, and I don't know. I hope it's just everyone, but I was a little rebellious, and I'll just say it. I was obnoxious during my teenage years, and I had a lot of fun hanging out with my friends and doing what I wanted to do, just like a teenager. So I don't feel like I was gypped on anything or anything like that. My husband and I had a period of time before we got married too that we got to just hang out and be kids together too. So we got to know each other a little better then too. And I don't feel like I missed out on anything. And I'm very happy to have this little girl right here who's sitting next to me reading a book.
That's brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. And so you got married relatively quickly then, after leaving school, and you had your first child, which I know you're very, very proud of, and I know your mum is exceptionally proud of as well from talking to her. In our little chat we had the other day, I think you said to me that you actually do a little bit of work, or probably a lot of work, in your mum's company. Can you just remind people who may not know already what sort of organisation it is, and perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your role within it?
Sure. The company is Harmony, and we send nurses out to private homes and facilities. And what I do is I'm right now the client service supervisor, so I do a lot of the scheduling and hiring of the nurses and that sort of thing, and sending them out and making sure the right nurse aide and nurse is going to the right patient. And that can be very hectic at times, but it also can be rewarding, you know, working with people and just helping people. That's something that makes you feel good, and that's one of the reasons I enjoy doing what I do.
And is this like a 5-day-week job, or is it part-time? I imagine that it's probably like part-time, or is it full-time?
No, I work part-time. My husband and I work back-to-back to each other, so our children don't have to go in daycare. And so I work when he's not working, and right now I work on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, but I get to be on call the other 2 days of the week. So I as in total time, I do spend not 40, but close to it a week doing stuff for the company.
And you're obviously enjoying it. So let me get this right. You actually arrange care for people with disabilities. Is that the bottom line? Is that what the company's all about? You actually arrange for people to go. And it's not residential, is it? You don't actually look after the people. It's just you actually arrange the care for disabled people.
Yeah, for people with disabilities or people recovering from surgery or just elderly. Basically, our nurse aides, I don't do the work, I do schedule them, but our nurse aides give ADLs, assisted daily living, help with bathing, dressing, or maybe even just transportation, that kind of thing. It's a pretty wide array of services, and also needs of our clients it changes. It just depends on, you know, what each individual person needs.
So you like tailor make the package for the individual.
Yep, that's the hope. They tell us what they what kind of care they need and what hours they need it for, and then hopefully we find the exact right employee that works out for them and for the employee.
That's excellent. Have you got a lot of clients? I'm just trying to get, you know, gauge how many people you're catering for.
It depends, because we can have a case for, say, only 2 days because they only need help right after surgery. But it can be between 10 and 30 clients. At certain times of the year do seem more busy, but it just all depends on, you know, who's calling us in. And when the economy's not that great, that changes too, so.
Yeah, but it keeps you occupied a lot of the time. I bet you have many, you know, people ring you up on the spur of the minute saying, can you do the impossible? And I'm sure you try your very, 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 very best to, you know, achieve the impossible on occasions. I'm sure you probably do.
Yeah, that's basically what that job is trying to get everyone to the right place at the right time and make everyone happy and safe.
Yeah. Another very interesting thing you told me when we were having our little pre-interview chat is that you are a vegetarian, and I think you told me that the whole family, well, you four are certainly. I just wonder, when did you decide to become a vegetarian, and what were the reasonings behind it?
I've been a vegetarian since I was 12 or 13, I think, is when I first started to try to be completely vegetarian, and I have been completely vegetarian for many years now. And, yep, both of our kids have never had meat, and my husband converted to vegetarianism right soonly after we met and started talking, and we're vegetarians for animal ethics, for animal rights reasons. We don't wear leather either, and we're ovo-lactin ethical vegetarians, which means we eat eggs and milk products, but we don't eat any flesh, no fish or chicken or anything like that, and we do it for animal rights.
Would you ever consider just taking that one step further and becoming vegan? And I think vegans don't use any animal product whatsoever. A friend of mine is a vegan, and I think that's correct. Would you take it that far?
I did try that briefly when I was in high school, and I personally did not find it to be healthy for me. And I also feel that I can get milk and eggs that are where the animals were treated properly to begin with. And I think that's really the whole appeal of being vegan, is not using any of the animal products, because the care of the animals, you know, the chickens that are laying the eggs and the cows that are giving the milk, is not that great. But there's some really good alternatives out there now where you can buy eggs by free-running chickens and no hormone milk and that sort of thing. So I don't think I would go to veganism again, though.
I was going to ask you, Jodie, if it's difficult to find things to eat, because I can imagine that in years gone by, I know you're only a young lady, but I imagine just a few years back, if it's anything like over here, vegetarianism was not very widely practiced, and to find things to eat was pretty difficult. Is that still the case? And just give us a flavour, if you'll pardon the pun, of the sort of thing that you do enjoy eating, which is strictly non-meat.
When I first started, it was definitely very hard to find actual soy alternatives, such as veggie burgers and that sort of thing. But now they sell, Morningstar Farms is one company, they sell the equivalent of ground round, and made by PVC, which is textured vegetable protein, in a little bag, so you can make hamburger helper even, or just spaghetti sauce. And they also have, my mom has fun when we find new vegetarian stuff too. Well, they have not dogs, vegetarian hot dogs, they have chick patties, and corn dogs, and buffalo wings even. But my very favorite, the very best vegetarian thing is, every once in a while on Thanksgiving or Christmas, we'll buy a tofurkey, which is a tofu turkey. In fact, it even comes with a synthetic wishbone and gravy and drumsticks and all that sort of thing. I think it's a lot easier now. And my kids are not picky eaters. They pretty much eat what's on their plate. And we eat a lot of grains that go along with, red beans and rice, macaroni and cheese. That's a really good one. Cheese, peanut butter, and I don't find it as hard anymore. Now it's a lot easier.
Yeah, I think it's becoming far, far easier, even, over here. Do your friends accommodate you? Do they make allowances for this? Do you find that people are willing now to accommodate vegetarianism a little bit more than they were?
All my friends, yes. All my friends accept, who I am. And I'm not pushy. I'm not going to start mouthing off about a hamburger that's in front of someone else. That's not how I do things. But if someone asks, I'll tell them, how I feel and why I do what I do. But I find a lot of times that just random people, who find out you're a vegetarian, they're either, oh, I stopped eating red meat, or, relate some sort of story like that, or they're like, Well, let's see, you're a vegetarian. Do you eat eggs? Because, you know, those are baby chickens. You know, they tried to, they're a little rude about it, but it doesn't bother me. I do what I do, so I, you know, I feel good about myself.
Yeah, and good for you. Good on you. That's excellent. I wish I had the conviction to do it, because I don't eat a great deal of meat myself, to be quite honest with you. I do eat it, but sometimes I wish I didn't. Anyway, that's me, not you. You've already told us that you got married at a relatively early age. Can you tell us how you met your husband, and could you tell us your husband's name? That'd be interesting.
My husband's name is Stephen, and we worked at the same grocery store, and I'm sorry, I was having a little parrot over here. We worked at the same grocery store, and on my very last day that I was working at that store, he finally got up the nerve to come ask me for my phone number, and he looked so nervous, but I gave it to him, and then, well, we just started hanging out, and we fell in love. I feel very lucky that I found my perfect person so early in life.
That's great. And of course, his name, you can't go wrong, can you? You know, with a name like Stephen, I mean, it's got to be right, hasn't it? But again, if you don't mind me prying a little bit, were you at all nervous about introducing your Stephen to your mum? You know, coming back to the fact again that she is a totally blind person, do you think he had any concerns about meeting her, or had he met her before?
He had concerns about meeting her, but not because she was blind, just because she's my mom, and I warned him that she might try, maybe not intentionally, embarrass me, but it might happen. Mom always liked Steve, and I think that's saying a lot, because she usually didn't like the boys I choose to like, so I should have known then that I had the right one. But I don't think the blindness was an issue for him. He does stupid stuff now the way I do stupid stuff, you know, saying something like, right over there, just not even thinking about it, or something like that. But I think it, you know, he's a smart, intelligent person. He understood everything.
Sure he did. I had to ask you, I just couldn't resist asking you. You know, because obviously the sort of thing that goes through people's minds, well, you do if you're anything like me anyway, and you're slightly nosy, you want to know the ins and outs of how things work. But, and then you had Chloe pretty quickly. How life-changing was that to have a child?
Oh, it changed absolutely everything, but in the best way. Chloe was a week late, and she was a fairly big baby, and I just know Stephen and I just fawned over her for probably about her first 3 years or so. She is a wonderful child, and I wasn't really a go out to a bar or a club type of person, so I really didn't miss the freedom part as much. My friends that stuck with me after I got married and had a baby and stopped being a teenager, they stuck with me, and they just came over to my house, and I something I would never be able to live without is Chloe Lynn Kirkland. She is one of my very, very, very favorite people in the world.
And that's exactly how it should be, of course. I've heard her on the peeps, on the promos, and I've heard her on there. She does sound really cute, and that's quite understandable, of course. And so after Chloe's birth and you settled down and you know, things got back to normal, what would you say was the next major thing to happen to you?
When you asked that, Chloe sitting next to me just said, "Jenna." And that's probably it. In August of 95, I started full-time back at work, because Chloe started at kindergarten full-time. And that was a very big change for both Chloe and I. And later on, at the end of that month, is when I got pregnant with Jenna. So, everything kind of changed right then and there. Chloe started school. That was very difficult. That very first day, it was a half day for us, so I had to sit in the parking lot and wait. It was very hard to turn my baby over to someone else. But then I started working, and that's also rewarding, you know, getting up, doing something, and being a productive person. And not that staying home with a kid is not being productive, because it is. And then Jenna was born, and she was born 5.5 weeks early. I had a complication during my pregnancy. And Jenna definitely changed all of our lives when she came in this world.
So I'm a little bit unsure of time scale now. So what year was Jenna born? How old is she?
Jenna is 2 years old. She was born April 14th, 2001.
Wow, you've really got your work cut out then, haven't you? And you know, with all the other things you do as well, I don't know how on earth you managed to fit it all in. And then of course, you know, you've got two young children to look after. Did you carry on working after the second one was born?
I did for the most part. Like I said, my husband and I kind of work opposite schedules from each other, and if I'm not able to work as much, then he has to work more. And I did take off a period of time after Jenna was born. To be honest, we were just so worried about her being so early and so tiny. She had these little tiny chicken legs that I did take off work for a while, and then I started back up because my husband is able to watch Chloe'd be in school, and he'd stay home and watch Jenna while I'd work. Then Chloe'd come home from school, and we'd switch. She'd go to work, and I'd take care of the kids for the rest of the night. So, yes, she had chicken legs, Chloe.
Yeah, I heard that in the background. That's great. Ah, dear. So, I think you said, I'm sorry, Jodie, you have to forgive me, but did you say earlier on that Steve actually works with you, or does he do a separate job? I'm sorry, I just lost the thread there. Can you just clarify that for me?
Yeah, right now, for a while now, actually, he's been working at CompUSA, a computer store, either, and he's had many jobs there, selling computers to small businesses. Right now, today, he's helping them run a gaming tournament there, and he's actually starting a new job either this week or next week, where he'll be selling computers and things to bigger clients and things like that. So he's got his own job. He worked at Harmony for a little bit too, and we shuffled around a little bit, just, you know, whoever could get the most hours at the best pay, that's who worked the most.
Oh, okay, I understand. I thought for a minute that he still continued to work at Harmony, but yeah, that's fine. And then of course there's your involvement with For the People, and I suppose really you know, you're bound to have been involved with For the People, and I know you, although I've never attended, because you do it when I'm asleep, hopefully, the trivia quiz. Now how did the trivia quiz on the Peeps come about?
Well, my mom asked me if I'd be willing to read some Trivial Pursuit questions and that sort of stuff once a week, and I said sure, and I met some great people in there. We have had fun. We have argued and been feeling nasty toward each other about certain questions, but it's a lot of fun. I think we've went through, well, four boxes of Trivial Pursuit cards, so that's like eight little carriers of Trivial Pursuit cards, and we did Gender Gap, and we did Scruples, and I know we've played a couple other little games, but now we're playing Play It By Ear, which is an awesome game. And also, starting next week, as long as I can remember to email Parker and get it on the schedule, I'll be reading books on Saturdays in the afternoon, children's books for a little while, and then hopefully adult books on Sunday and Monday night. So that should be fun. I love to read, so that'll be a lot of fun for me.
Oh, sounds good. You know, you're tempting me. I may even wake up in the middle of the night and see what you get up to, because I know you have a great deal of fun. But I was going to ask you about the questions. It must be a nightmare, really, trying to you know, find new questions You say you went through the Trivial Pursuit set. I expect that caused you a few headaches on occasion. Where on earth are the next batch of questions going to come from?
Yeah, well, I stopped looking for trivia questions as much because I think after, it was at least a year, we just all got a little tired of trivia anyway. It was time to branch out to a new game. And Gender Gap was very fun, but, you know, they only sell a certain number of those boxes, a different kind. There was only two different versions of that game, and we've gone through those questions probably twice. And same thing with Scruples. Those kind of games, you just run out of the questions. That's why Play It By Ear is a really cool game. It's with audio tracks, and I think we've got probably about another 1,000 questions on that one before it's all over with, and we can start back at the beginning because people forget the answers. So it is difficult to find questions sometimes, but luckily the Internet can help me out there.
Yeah, the good old Internet. It's good for all sorts of things, isn't it? And I imagine digging up trivia questions is certainly one of them. Now, as we're actually talking, Jody, it's coming up towards the middle of June in 2003. And just a few weeks back, of course, you and your mum and one or two other people hosted the Peeps Party, the first Peeps Party. Can you just give us a flavour of what that was like, how exciting it was to actually meet all these people for real? Because I'd love to have been there. Just give me an idea what it was like behind the scenes, you know, in building up to it.
Oh, the only word I can think of is chaos. It was so much fun. I wish I had a little more time to actually talk to more people, but we had so much fun. My mom and I, not only planning for it and thinking, you know, this person's coming, but actually being able to meet and hug the people I've been talking to forever was a lot of fun. And being able to see people like Steve and Hallie and Anita, who I have met before, and being able to hug them again, and I was very happy to be able to give Parker, Terry, and Barry big hugs. I thought it was a lot of fun. The music was absolutely awesome. I wish I could have stayed longer and heard more of that because the music was just incredible. I think every person who played there, there was some awesome, awesome playing going on. But we had some problems with the hotel and that sort of thing, and that was not very fun. That was not fun at all. That made me very angry what the hotel did. But overall, it was awesome. I can't wait until next November.
Yeah, well, whenever the next one is, hopefully you'll get one or two people from my side, and hopefully I'll be one of them. Very much hope so. I'll do my very, very best. Now, during all this busy, hectic life you lead, do you ever have time just to relax and take out time for yourself? And if so, what are your hobbies? What do you enjoy doing in your spare time, if indeed you do have any?
I do, and when I don't, I make it. You know, the socks will stay unmatched in the basket for a while, so I can... I love to read books. I read all the time. It's one of my very favorite things. I even read books that I don't particularly like just because I like reading that much. I love listening to music, too. That's another one of my favorite things. I got both of those from my mom, I'm sure, because she loves both of those as well. I really enjoy the computer. I enjoy taking pictures with my digital camera and fixing them on the computer and putting them out. I like making slideshows of pictures and videos of my kids. Enjoy surfing the internet and playing computer games and, of course, going on For the People. And I enjoy Z-Phone poker, although I don't always like it. I enjoy doing that, too. I like reading probably the very most, though.
Have you got any particular favourite authors, or do you just like reading anything and everything? I know you said you read books maybe that you don't really like even, but any particular style or any particular genre that you're particularly fond of?
I generally like books about people. I'm reading The Pelican Brief by John Grisham right now, but that's not my favorite kind of book. I don't like the ones where it's in the details of who flew to when and there's 100 people's names. I like more stories about people and situations and that sort of thing. I like it when there's kids in the book. I like fantasy, too, though. There's an author named Robert Asprin who writes a little fantasy series of maybe 200-page books each, and I love that series. That might be one of my favorites, but I guess if I had to pick my very favorite author, I'd probably have to say Heinlein. I'd probably have read more of his books than I have anyone else's. Well, maybe Stephen King, too. But normally I just like books about people.
Yeah, great. Now I'm going to get heavy on you again, just for a few minutes, and I wonder what advice you would give to someone who may be in the position of having a parent who's just found out that they're going to go blind or that they have recently gone blind. What advice would you give, or what words could you say to someone in that position who's, you know, someone similar to your age or younger, whose parent or guardian suddenly finds themselves in a position of losing their sight?
Okay, that one is a tough one. I don't know. Because, see, my mom has always been blind. It was, you know, I never had to go from her being sighted to being blind. I guess I would have to say, you know, well, it doesn't really make much sense, but everything's the same. It's just different now, you know, the same, very same person. I think that would be what I would have to say there. Growing up with my mom then and now cooks 5 times better than I do and things like that, and her memory is just phenomenal. And I feel like she probably does more than I do, her being blind and me being sighted, just because she's the person who it is. So maybe I'm just a little bit spoiled by having my mom as being my mom and my prime example as a blind person, because she's just phenomenal.
Yeah, indeed. Would you say that people who have parents with any form of disability, would you say that they have to grow up faster? Would you say that they mature faster than people who don't have parents with disability, or would you say it's pretty much on a person-to-person basis?
I would definitely say so, because I feel like I probably grew up a little slow, probably played with toys a little longer than most kids did, that kind of thing. I don't feel like I grew up fast at all, but I probably could scan grocery store ads better than, you know, say your average 7 or 8 year old when I was that age. But as far as, you know, the world in general, I really don't feel like I grew up fast at all.
And just in the final few minutes of this really enjoyable chat, I've really enjoyed talking to you. What are you most proud of? I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you, so far in your life, what are you most proud of?
Well, you're probably right. It would have to be Chloe Lynn and Jenna Catherine. I feel like I was blessed by two not only beautiful, smart, and funny, but just wonderful kids, and I really enjoy them. Just in case you couldn't tell, I really enjoy my kids, and I've had a lot of fun, too. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, just one final thing. What would you say is your greatest achievement? And I think I know the answer to this one, too.
Once again, my kids, if we'll classify that as an achievement, but I also am proud of myself just happy with myself about my vegetarianism and just knowing what I want, what I feel is the right thing to do, and then doing it, not doing the easy thing, doing the right thing. So that would be another thing.
That's fantastic, Jody. And again, can I truly thank you for agreeing to be interviewed. It's great. I know your mum is immensely proud of you and the grandchildren, and and so she should be. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and if anyone's got any questions, I don't know if you'd be happy to answer any, but on behalf of everyone, thank you very much indeed. And can I just thank Becky for her coordination of Spotlight, and to Dennison for recording Spotlight for us, and thanks once again, Jody. It's been a great, great pleasure, and I hope I can speak to you again sometime, because I've never spoken to you before, only the other night for the first occasion. So thanks a lot.
Well, you're welcome, Steve. I'm glad to do it, and I'm glad to talk to you too. I hope we can make it to trivia or maybe one of these reading sessions. And also thank you, Becky and Dennis, for doing that part too.
Super, super interview. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Great job, both of you guys. And I have to vouch for Jody. She is a dear, as everybody knows, but I've met her in person too, and she is a dear, just to sum it up.
Yeah, I liked that interview too. It was nice.
Well, Jennifer, I know you had to be a good mother to bring up a good daughter like that. Really nice interview.
Well, thank you, Olivia. Yes, she's my darling, my baby. But I also wanted to, Jody's one a little bit. She did the graphics for our front page, and I think we'll be working with Barry on a special project coming up too. So, other than trivia, she's behind the scenes with four people too, and I just want to thank her for being my daughter. I love you.
Yeah, Jody, thank you very much for all the help you provide for the people. It's a big, great help to have you.
Well, thank you, Parker, and I love you too, Mom.
And as a partially sighted person, I'll tell you too, she's very beautiful. She's a gorgeous woman.
Yeah, Jody, I got one question for you. When you realized, or maybe unconsciously, you know, that your mother can see, did you want to help out more in the kitchen?
In the kitchen, I'd have to say no, because I was not a very good cook until I got off on my own. But probably in other ways, yes. I never mind, you know, reading this or that sort of thing.
Hi, Jody. I don't know if you remember me or not, but this is Betsy Gerhart. And I remember you when you had a really high voice. And you were a cute little girl. And I remember a story that I'd like to share. We were staying with you and your sister and your mom. And we went to visit some other friends, and we went to the mall. And your mom told you to leave all your toys at home, and you didn't do that. You snuck your teddy bear with you. And then you left it somewhere in the mall, and of course we got back to the friend's house, and this was all by cab. And we got back to the friend's house, and your mom had to go back to the mall and get your teddy bear because you were just carrying on about that.
I remember that one, too. But that was my favorite teddy.
Pitching a fit is what I think we call it.
Never, not me.
Yeah, that was pretty accurate, pitching a fit. I like that.
That sounds like a nice way to put it.
Really lovely interview, Jody. You did a great job.
John.
Jennifer, I'd like to hear how you found that teddy bear.
Oh, I don't know. I don't really remember. Probably just went to all the stores we'd been at and asked if they had that teddy, or went up and down the aisles. That wasn't the only time we've had a situation like that.
So you found it.
Oh, I should have asked you about a teddy bear, obviously. Oh, dear. Poor teddy.
Great interview, guys.
I'd like to say what a great interview it was also. And I've had the pleasure of meeting Jody in person when I went to visit her mother. And Jody is just as sweet and charming in person as she sounded in here today.
Jody, Betsy wanted me to ask you, I forgot, at the time that we were just talking about, Jennifer had a really nice big black dog named Sammy, because she went to school to get him when I got my yellow lab named Rocky. Do you remember that dog?
Samuel T. Dog was probably my favorite dog I have ever had the chance to meet. He was definitely my favorite dog ever. Oh, I remember Sammy. He lived to be, I think, 12 years old, I think. He was a wonderful dog.
No, 16.
That's right, because he was older than me when he was always older than me. He was the best dog ever.
Yeah, Sammy was part lab, part Great Dane, and he and Rocky had a great time together. I remember poor Nancy was cringing because they were just about destroying her wonderful basement.
That sounds like something Sammy could do. He was a very big dog.
Judy's often told stories about how she had to learn to run when we go places because I always walk so fast. With Sammy, there wasn't a lot of choice.
Yep, it'd be Mom and Sammy, and they looked like they were just, not running, not breaking a sweat, and me and my short legs would have to just run to keep up with them.
Right. Oh, no wonder you had scraped knees.
Yeah, Jennifer does what's called a power walk.
Otherwise known as the leave everyone in the dust walk.
Yeah, the mist.
Well, I want to thank everyone for coming today to Spotlight, and we'll invite you back again next week when Rudy from California will be in the Spotlight. Spotlight, 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 Spotlight.